The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I should really stop doing this because it's wrong to do, but I will suggest it to people again. Whenever that VSiN plus 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 subscription comes out, conversations off air. That's a good one.
Conversations off air for us. And then, I mean, by the books, if you're looking for regular, and I'm saying they go to break, and then for 2.5 minutes, you need golf scoreboard updates, Dave Ross has got you covered. You don't need to another channel. You don't need to open up an app. Dave Ross is just talking to Jensen Lewis, whether he's listening or not Jensen, about golf scoreboard updates.
Jensen couldn't care less.
Dave helps me out big time on Thursday and Friday. I can prep for the show, and I can get updated on golf scores while I'm doing it. It works out very well for me.
Oh, a couple of things. Kelly on the FedEx St. Jude coming up this hour.
That's right.
And speaking of By the Books, which is hosted by Dave Ross, Captain America, and Jensen Lewis prior to us being on air here Monday through Friday. I heard as I was going in the shower this morning, getting ready for work, they were about to have Phil Steele on. Phil Steele,
yes.
Author of...
We brought up yesterday.
I think we talked about this off air.
Did we not talk about that on air?
Not the part I'm about to get to, we didn't talk about on air. So Phil Steele, obviously the godfather of college football betting guides, they had him on, and I'm sure they had a lovely discussion. I wasn't able to hear it. But I don't know if they brought up, have you heard this? Kelly and I talked about this off air yesterday. Aaron Schatz, who does his own NFL guide, brought this up to us last year or the year before. He's like, you know, I have my own guide, but there's imposters out there who are copying my guide or acting like they're me, selling it on... I don't know if they reproduced it in mass.
Yes, they were like selling it on Amazon.
Reproduced his guide a lot, and it was really pissing off Aaron Schatz, and rightfully
so. As it should, yeah.
He worked on it for months, and then they come in. So Phil Steele now has like four other people stealing, like basically acting like they are him,
right,
with his guide, and in some... I'm laughing. It's not funny, but in some cases,
but there's funny parts.
There's funny parts. They'll tell you the two that I find funny. One, in some cases, they've changed the numbers.
Yes.
So in other words, they're giving you erroneous Phil Steele statistics.
Right. In predictions. Yeah.
And the part that amuses me the most, and again, it's not an amusing situation, but the part of this that I do find amusing is of all the cons that you could come up with in life.
It's incredible.
What's the thought process for you to get from, you know, I'm a con man. I'm looking for a con. I know what I'll do. Preview guides and just go and try to like make money. How much do those things cost? A few bucks at a time?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know what Phil's is. I'm going to guess 20 bucks.
I mean, what are we doing?
So first of all, this has blown up even more from yesterday because I am now on a New York Times article about this.
Oh, they picked up on it.
Yeah, they picked up on this.
Yeah.
And there is, you know, one of the things we were talking about, not only were people changing like wording of his, but there's all four of them that are available or were available apparently were four different lengths in page length. So it was, you know, you had no idea what you were getting. Just be careful. I mean, I feel bad.
Be careful out there.
Yeah, Aaron talked to us about this, 2 years ago?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it was a while ago. And you know, we felt
bad.
And
I mean, this is these guys' livelihood.
Right. I mean, you felt bad and concerned about it then, but I was watching Phil tweet about this yesterday, and it's like, man, this is crazy. I mean, this is one of the more respected college football preview guides that's out there.
Yeah. A few things from football notes, our NFL training camp, but Kelly's done a great job of just shouting them out as soon as they come down the pipeline.
Hey, most of these were Danny.
Danny?
I stole some credit earlier, so I'll give it back.
Is Danny producer 10 at this point?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, can we refer to him that way? Danny Higgins, producer number 10. Let's move on.
Let's mix it up. Let's go like D.A.'s.
This is an interesting thing for fantasy players. The Dolphins, head coach Jeff Hafley, their new head coach, promised a heavy workload for Devon Achane during an interview with the Rich Eisen show. Not just any heavy workload. Did you hear this? Saying that the star running back could have games in which he touches the ball more than 40 times.
Yeah.
We're talking carries and catches.
Darnell with a great text.
What'd he say?
Danny X. Roman numerals. He's going 10.
Oh, X. Danny's X. Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Look, if you're the Dolphins, sure. What the hell else are they doing on offense, right? That is by far their best player. It's a running back. You're in full rebuilding mode. I mean, honestly, I probably would have been shopping the guy this offseason, but if you didn't do that, then yeah, give the ball to him 40 times.
Give the ball to him 40 times. Anyway, something for fantasy player. Mm-hmm. Maybe that moves Achane up the draft board a little bit for you. The Niners injury stuff, just same, you know, doesn't matter the year. It's the same story. Nick Bosa, who's returning from the torn ACL, now considered week to week due to tendinitis in his surgically repaired knee, according to Kyle Shanahan. Again, if you're the electromagnetic field or whatever that
crazy,
the theory
man.
Continues when all this continues with all these players. Obviously, when I was gone, Ricky Pearsall, they finally addressed the knee that they should have addressed last year.
What a bizarre story that was.
He's donezo.
But did you catch the whole, like, they let him be in charge of it in the offseason or whatever? And then, like,
that's what you want to do.
Yeah. And then, like, showed up at camp and they were all surprised. What a weird story. Shanahan did say yesterday, by the way, most of the 49ers will not play in the preseason opener tomorrow against the Tennessee Titans.
Ravens head coach Jesse Minter saying the same thing. Quarterback Lamar Jackson, other established starters, will not play in Saturday's preseason opener for the Ravens.
Which, kind of as Will was bringing up last segment, right? This is all these numbers have moved. Titans, I got it plus 2.5 on Friday. They're laying 5 points on the road now at San Francisco.
We talked about who's going to start week one in the NFL for some teams, and we seized on the Cleveland Browns yesterday, where Deshaun Watson is minus 300, where these are available, bet 365, who's going to be the starting quarterback, and what we mean by starting quarterback is who's taking the first snap from scrimmage, first week of the regular season. Deshaun Watson, who is minus 300 to be that guy for the Browns over Shedeur Sanders, has now thrown 9 interceptions in 12 practices.
Pretty incredible.
Is that good?
Did you see the video I sent you yesterday from Mary Kay Cabot? I think was out there and shot that.
Oh my God, that was a terrible pass.
I was sending it to you and Danny just to be like, because I saw the 9. I'm like, 9. We were just talking about this 9 times. But then you actually look at the throw. Danny was like, it's triple coverage. Like, yeah, there's nothing there.
He just throws it into
There
is nothing there.
It was really bad.
Also, but there's also, if you think that's bad, the compilation that I sent you from the Arizona Cardinals practice.
That was amazing.
This was an extensive montage, which lasted, about a minute and a half, which is an eternity, of just Cardinals gaffes in practice, offensively.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Horrible quarterback play, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. must have had, like, I don't know.
Like seven drops there.
It
terrible.
Felt like 10 drops in a row of just... We talk about those Ohio State, the long line, you know, Penn State's known for linebackers. Ohio State has had so many great wideouts here in recent history, right? Are we at the point where Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the cusp of being the worst of all of the big names? Like, if he doesn't get it together this season, I think you have to put him behind all of those guys. From JSN,
I was just trying to come
Garrett Wilson,
Ibuka
to Ibuka maybe not, but yes, maybe. I mean, but McLaurin, right? The list goes on. All these guys.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He's clearly not done anything, and it's preseason. Maybe I shouldn't read into it. Maybe it's somebody who has an agenda putting together this thing.
Yes, but always got to be careful.
It was the Chris
that,
Vernon show. Give them a shout out that had this video.
Since that Masters thing with Chris Vernon, I'm obsessed with the guy. And he's just over there. He's just over the whole time. He's just laughing as they're playing the video.
It's show.
And it's still
laughing.
Me just laughing at him laughing.
That's right.
It's so great, man. We were joking about it yesterday on text. I can't. These NFL GMs that are actually great at their job, good for you.
Oh, you had a great rant about
it. I mean,
this
it
yesterday.
Is. We're getting to this point with Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And if you're in any NFL front office and it's like, all right, scouts, sell me on this guy. Yeah. Well, he's Marvin Harrison's kid. He went to Ohio State where he was a star, and he's about 6'4", so he's a few inches taller than Marvin Harrison. I'd be like, let's go. We're going to win a new Super Bowl. Where do I pick up my Hall of Fame jacket? Like, what? We're taking him at the earliest pick possible.
Wait, but we have the fourth pick. He'll never last to us. Guess what? He lasted to you.
Steal of the draft. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's all I'd be talking about.
I don't know.
And what, we're 2 years later and you're like,
this could be wildly different a year from now, 2 years from now.
But do you actually think that? I don't think that. I think we've seen Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, you might be right. You might be right. I'm giving some grace for it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm giving some leeway for it. The fact that, because
as you should, I'm just a little surprised. Yeah.
You never know. But a wideout should have, wideout is a dependent position, but he should have, we should have seen more from him by now.
Yeah. And just, I think the toughest part for me is just how he's looked so slow his entire career.
That's
right?
The other thing. When you look at some of these training, like, and again, we are not, let's be clear, we are not talent evaluators. But one of the things that I think even mere mortals of talent evaluation like ourselves can sort of see is when you look big and slow. And Marvin Harrison does look a little big and slow. You know who looks like they are running in molasses?
Who?
The Niners old guys. Debo.
Oh, God.
And Mike Evans.
When they've been able to get out on the field.
When you look at some of that footage, you're like, oh, my God, who's getting faked out by that move?
Yeah, man.
It's early August. They got a month to get in shape. But like, good God, you look at some of Debo was even a little shaky last year with it. You're like, So
and they weren't the plan wasn't to bring in Debo and have him play as much as he's going to have to play for
correct.
The 49ers.
Now is the case.
Talk about that's a stock down team for the over the summer. I'm so high on the Niners like 2 months ago and the injuries.
The Niners. I'm super high on them and the injuries, and then Washington with Laremy Tunsil. It's like, oh my God,
brutal.
We're not even at the first preseason game yet. We'll come back. Paul Spohr, Major League Baseball, his Tigers next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly Midland, have you seen the Circus Survivor documentary?
I have seen every second of every episode so far. Yes, I have.
Have you? What's been your favorite part of it so far, Mr. Mann?
Oh, just the continued growth of the contest overall and how people are handling holidays and the dramatic action that's upcoming in it.
Have you really watched every second?
I've watched every second. Okay. There's only been like three episodes.
I know. It's episode four tonight. Every Wednesday, it is 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight is episode four. You can still watch the previous ones over at the YouTube VSiN channel. All episodes at the YouTube VSiN Live channel. But tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, the debut of episode number four of the Circa Sports Pro Football Contest Quests for $18.7 million documentary. Chronicling everything that happened last year, not just Circa Classic, but also Grandissimo.
That's right.
Done a great job.
Hey, at some point in this thing, there's a little breakaway segment of the Sigma Derby history and Kelly Bidlin.
Really?
Swear to God.
I have
no idea what episode it's in. It has not happened yet.
Are you sure that didn't end up on the cutting room
floor? No, I'm not sure. I shot for it for like an hour and a half.
Mm. We get tweets. Beating the book. Hour and a half. Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Xavier 82. Good morning, gents. Let's get after it. Imagine if Mark Walter decided to pay his tax bill in single $1 bills. Even better, what if they were stripper $1 bills? Take that IRS. Talking about, in case you missed it, the Lakers ownership, Mark Walter selling it. Just bought it in October, $10 billion. Selling it. The Josh Kushner and, is it Bob Iger?
Mm-hmm.
For $12.5 billion. 10 months later. Brosek, 1870. Let's hope the sale of the Lakers. Oh, this is a good point. Let's hope the sale of the Lakers isn't opening the door for Portland to move to Vegas. It's a shame what's going on up in the Pacific Northwest right now. Yeah, that the new owner, whose name escapes me right now,
London, right?
He does not feel like he's operating in good faith, to say the least.
Yeah, Tom Dundon, yes. The Carolina Hurricanes owner who everybody,
Dundon, right.
Yeah, who everybody thought, hey, this would be a great hire, just won a Stanley Cup not all that long ago. Got to be a great name to bring in. And he is every cost cutting move he can make, it seems he is making.
Yeah, why'd you buy the team, man?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the first like big warning sign was just the fact that they didn't bring back Tiago Splitter.
Right.
You're like, what? He's like, too, this craziness?
Tiago Splitter's too expensive for you? Is that what
you're
that
right,
was?
Yeah. I mean, like the craziness that happened at the beginning of the season with Billups, Splitter steps in and takes him to the playoffs.
And if there's ever a fan base that has been, you know, doesn't deserve, no fan base does, but Portland, it's the only pro team that they have, right, in the major mm-hmm. sports. And they are like the most loyal fan base you can possibly imagine. And what a history, right? From Bill Walton's championship in the 1977-78 season through the teams that got to the NBA championship to face Michael Jordan, through the Jailblazers era, through Dame Lillard. I mean, just great history and to just come in and
yeah, it's
not
sad.
Care, it seems. Is
with
awful.
A good young team. I mean, that's the other. I mean, this is about as excited as you could be about a Trailblazers roster in a long time.
And Colin Murphy, with you, Will Hill, Gil Kelly on the Cubs one seed. Well, I'm not on the Cubs seed. Will is. 7 games left against the Brewers, 3 against the Braves. Let's get this home coming off the Sox most wins in July. Oh, he's on the Cubs. Turn the number one seed at 60-1. Oh, he's got a 60-1 ticket on it. And then Jump Ball, it's not a theory anymore. It's the substation. Trust me about the Niners. Okay, Jump Ball, that is your real name.
It is pretty crazy, man.
It's pretty nuts. Paul Sporer joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is coming to us from Austin, Texas, but at his heart, he is a Detroit guy, Detroit Tigers fan, first and foremost. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer. He works at FanGraphs, host of the Sleeper of the Bus podcast. Paulie, good morning.
Good morning, and it is the substation. Just can't see any way it's not, but we don't have to delve into that. I'm here for baseball.
That's right. Wow, substation gaining traction this morning. All right, you called this. Tigers a half game out of the wild card, the third wild card, 2.5 out of the division. They're doing this, aren't they? They're doing this.
Maybe, Gil, but you know what? Their bullpen still sucks. Yes, so I'm pretty angry if I'm being real.
Yeah, it does.
Like it's such a fraudulent run here that I get excited about in the moment each night. Like I had a blast last night watching. And as I'm kind of coming down from it, watching some West Coast games, I get pissed again because that bullpen sucks. And Kenley's terrible. I'm sorry. Like, he's just not a closer for a playoff team anymore. And they have no bridge to him. I'll tell you what, if they had a bridge to him and then they just kind of had the old man closing, we've seen this with teams before, right? Their best relievers are the 6th, 7th, 8th guys because that's when the game is won and lost generally. And then they have somebody who can kind of maintain the 9th. If that's what they had, great. But they got a bridge that's on fire, missing every other step, to a guy that is broken down. Like, I'm sorry. The way he was spraying the ball last night, I thought we were losing that game 1,000,000%. There was no doubt in my mind with the meltdowns that he's had this year that the Tigers were going to lose. They didn't. But that's the thing. Like, okay, you're going to trade Schuble and Mize. You know, we talk about how I work for the game called Out of the Park Baseball. It's a baseball simulator where you can play general manager. And those are some moves that I probably would have done managing a team, trading Schuble and Mize to get something for next year, you know, being kind of the you know, no feeling sort of guy, you know, in the simulator there. But you know what else I would have done? I'd have gotten some bullpen pieces. Check the waiver wire. Go pick up something, dude. So, you know, I got some love for Scott Harris, but I got some anger, and it really comes down to that bullpen. Tigers look great. They're playing very well. They might get this because the Central isn't great and the AL's been a crapshoot all year, but push come to shove in the playoffs, I just don't see it with the way this bullpen is.
I agree with you about that. I totally agree with you about that. I think they're the opposite of the Red Sox. The Red Sox, to me, are if they sneak in, tough
yes.
out.
They're Tiger, major dangerous. Yep.
Tigers, if they sneak in, not a tough out to me.
I can't see it.
Yeah,
I can't.
For many of the reasons you stated. But I just need you know what? I just needed the last 20 more days, Paul. That's all I need for the Tigers.
Right. And I will give one little thing on the if we sneak in. And I'm a wee guy, so cry about it, folks. I don't care. I know I'm not on the payroll. I'm not on the team. Shut up. If we sneak in, they will strengthen the bullpen by cutting down the rotation. And that will help. It won't fix everything, but it will help. Like if a Jackson Jobe is coming out of the bullpen because they don't want to push his innings too far and everything. Okay, you could see maybe a little something, but I'm with you. Someone like the Red Sox, I'd be much more excited about going into the playoffs than I am my beloved Tigers.
Jackson Jobe hitting triple digits on the gun in his return from Tommy John. But like guys like Melton, it's such a house of cards, Ace. Right? Like, it's just, if you look at the fan
whoa,
graphs.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, we disagree on Milner.
Some
of those underlying numbers are due for some regression. So I'm just hoping it lasts.
Easy on my ace there, killer. That's my guy. I truly believe that he is a future ace. But I say future because I agree. Not fully formed yet, but you got to go look at the game logs, Gil. He started off a little bit slow. And I know what you're talking about with like the BABIP. The BABIP is like my weight right now. He's running like a 150, 60 BABIP or something. And that will go up. 100%. Totally agree. Tigers defense has been playing a lot better over the last couple months, though. That doesn't sustain a sub 200 BABIP. I agree with you there. But the core skills, the strikeouts and walks, have greatly improved as Melton's season has gone. And even when the strikeouts weren't there, he was going 6-7 innings a pop. So he was kind of making up for it with volume and making sure that they didn't have to get into that terrible bullpen. I'm just totally in the bag for Melton. I truly believe he's a future one. So I had to push back on you a little bit there. But I'm with you on the BABIP. I'll give you the BABIP.
If you had to make a bet then on your Tigers, what's the bet? Make playoffs plus 155, win division plus 270. What's the best bet on them?
I think I'd go for the division at that point, right? If you think they're going to make the playoffs, just go for the bigger number at the division there and kind of go for that. Don't get too caught up in anything with pennant or World Series. Cause like I said, I really can't see it. You never know when you get in October. I understand. But no, division odds is probably where I'd look if I were going to go on the Tigers.
What team is the most disappointing in all of baseball? And can the Mariners turn it around?
Thank you. Because I mean, you know me too well. It's a 1,000,000,000% them. I don't know, man. I've been buying in on them for years now, as I believe you have too. You know, seeing this talent and thinking that they could really make a gigantic run, and they're either running in place or backsliding, as we've seen now recently here. And I just don't really get it. I think when we look at some of the other teams that have disappointed this year, we can kind of see the reasoning. When I look at them, I still don't really get it. Okay, Cal, sure. One player does not a team make, though. So even if you just kind of like plenty of teams that are doing well this year have a big failure somewhere or another. Look at the Yankees still hanging around and being competitive. And they have the worst offense in baseball. Well, actually second worst. You know who's worst? Seattle. Since June 1st when Judge went out. So I don't know, man. Like, I don't know that they can. They have the talent, but I don't know what the heck is going on with them in Seattle. I'm starting to lose my faith after kind of being on their train for the last, like I said, several years at this point.
Who wins the American League pennant in the end?
Probably a healthy Yankees, so that's a little bit of a cop-out because is Judge right. going to be healthy and all that? Because that pitching is awesome. The offense absolutely stinks out loud right now, but it's because they're hobbled. If the Judge and company come back, that totally flips on a dime. So I have to go with the Yankees as the favorite right now. I love that Red Sox team, though. You brought them up earlier about if they get in, they're hot. I still really do like them, but I would go healthy Yankees.
And are we just ignoring the Rays? Is that bad of us to do in the end? Or you don't buy it?
It is and it isn't, because they're kind of like Milwaukee, where their stuff doesn't necessarily track in the playoffs, because I think they're more built for the long haul. They don't have a lot of power. The pitching can help, but can they score in the playoffs? I'm not sure they can.
Paul, love you. Thank you so much. Paul Sporer, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Take care, guys.
At Sporer Country Club and next on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College football season is almost here, and betting it blind is a losing strategy. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Matt Eumanns' preseason top 50 in there. Conference champs from everybody. Best bets. Did a great job on that. Once again, Adam Burke guiding the ship.
Right, man. That is the, in my opinion, the best guide of the year that VSiN does.
Well, it's certainly the most, let's put it this way, maybe the most needed with transfer portals, right? Like it's the hardest sport at this point to wrap your arms around, college hoops as well, but college football too, you may not know what you're getting into. By the way, I talked to Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob,
who's Bob doing?
Been on this show, you know, for from its inception a decade ago. Bob, who, you know, is featured in 2005 in CNBC, Wall Street Journal features on him. The great Dr. Bob, who cut his teeth on college football. Dr. Bob has retired from college football and college basketball. And he was in San Francisco when I was there. And I talked to him and I was just like, okay, are you like still running your model and just you're going to make bets on your own? Now the prediction markets are, he goes, no. He says, I'm done. I'm just going to do NFL. Just NFL. I said, you come on the show for NFL? Well, of course I'll come on the show for NFL. I said, but you're not doing.
Oh, I didn't know we were getting that.
Oh, yeah, we're getting that.
Bob was just done.
No. He's still doing NFL, but but his bread and butter was always college football and college basketball. He was great at NFL too, but that was always what he was known for. And then he was telling me, yeah, someone asked me if I would still do college football season win totals. And he said, no. I said, I'm not doing that. That's 400 hours of work.
400 hours.
So it's amazing. He has cold turkeyed it on both college football and basketball. And he really, like, I was like, you're okay? He goes, yeah, I'm in a great place with it.
Good for him.
He's done.
Good for him.
Yeah. John Balduzzi. Did Kelly take a drink from a flask during the long shots pod?
No. I had a water bottle, I think.
Hmm.
That's also pretty common.
Bobby Geddes, just to clarify, I did not see every VEASAN employee last week. It was only Kelly, Dustin, Will, Stormy, JVT, Humans, Mitch, Paul, Fez, Joe Pita, in addition, Drew, Andy, Ed Feng, if we include guests. Successful week, need a week where you are both there for once.
Yeah.
Bobby, I missed you this time. Get you on the rebound.
Bobby. It was, he caught me when I was rushing out somewhere. I think after all the panels.
Yeah.
The panels, and then I was, actually, this is exactly when he stopped me. Said hi to him quick, and I was going to throw my stuff in my car so I could go to the pool and hit the open bar in the bikini contest.
Oh, there's a bikini contest?
There was a bikini contest, too, Gil. And then I said to myself, I go, you know what, Kelly, you are entirely way too old to have been here for like 12. I was here till like 6 p.m. I'm like, just go home and go to bed. Like, you're not leaving here in under 2 hours. You're not going to the pool.
Our little boy's growing up.
That's right.
He's growing up.
Like the most mature thing I've done ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go country club and let's do it. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
These guys have never missed a bikini contest.
What would I have to pay you at this point to go to a day party in Vegas from start to finish at this point? I couldn't do it.
No, you could pay me. Actually, I don't know. I don't know. Because really, I don't have a problem with any of it besides the overwhelming amount of people.
That's what I mean.
Just the people is it's just tough. It's like, I don't know about you, but it's like, I can't. Caesar's Palace is iconic and awesome for so many reasons. I have no desire to ever go there because there is always a billion people around in a circle.
This was a day party, but like when I walked, my buddy Wes and I were walking by XS
mm-hmm.
in between the Wynn and the Encore, and we're both old now. So we asked each other, we get into this whole thing. It's like, how much would I have to pay you to spend 3 hours in that club right now? Would $5,000 do the trick? He's like, no.
The worst part about it is like, the only times I've been in recent history, in the past 5 years, I've probably been in a Vegas club two or three times. Okay. It's always only been when someone has a table and bottles, because I can't try to go get a drink in one of these places. It's like, oh, let me go wait in a line for 25 minutes and then pay for a $25 beer. It's good times.
FedEx St. Jude, the first of the three run up to the FedEx Cup Championship in golf.
That's right.
What do you like here?
Top 70 players advanced to this week, but it's only 69, Gil, because Daniel Berger said, I've got an owie, so he's staying home.
Boy.
Yeah, tough season for Berger.
Then it's 50 next week and 30 the following week.
Correct, yeah. Okay. So we chopped down to 50, top 50 out of this event advanced, and then, yes, 30 after that to the Tour Championship. Heading to Memphis, TPC Southwind here. No cut event now that we're down to this small field. I think that makes sense. No cut. This is a par 70, so knock off two par fives that you're normally dealing with. Pretty long course, though. This is 13th longest course PGA Tour, third smallest green. So it is a relatively easy playing course, Gil, but you have real tough rough off the side of the fairways. Bermuda, that's 3 inches tall. It's tough to hit out of. A ton of water on this course, so you will see a lot of water balls. And then just that simple 13th longest with third smallest greens, makes ball striking extremely important this
week. Gotta love ball striking.
So that's usually what we've seen play out here over the years, where I ended up settling. And this is, for anybody handicapping at home, I can't overemphasize the importance of finding fairways this week, just to give you some of the approach hit rates. So hitting greens, when you're in the fairway, 73% hit rate onto the greens. When you're out of the fairway, 33% is what that drops down to. So that only how hard...
That's a big drop.
It's a big drop. Not only how
hard... What is it usually?
It's a good question. I would say that 73% is about average out of the fairway. The rough percentage probably in the 40s.
I see.
That would be my guess. It's a good question. I don't fully know off the top of my head. Easier putting course. So something to keep in mind. I'm not putting stats. I didn't really dig into big time. And you might notice a little bit of the theme once I get to my card this week, Gil.
I am looking at it, and I do notice a theme.
It's kind of, and this has kind of become a thing for me in these playoff events of who have I just missed out on this year that's still running hot that I think is going to win an event in these final three. And it might just be stubbornness, but that's where I'm going, Gil. That's where I'm going. So Sam Burns, who I just missed out on at the Open.
Yeah.
Hasn't played since the Open. I kind of would have liked if he had played one of these events, but there's just not really any reason for these guys to fully do that. So he's back for the first time, 22-1. Still number one in this field over the last 16 rounds on approach. And when Sam Burns is hitting his irons that way, it unlocks the rest of the game. He's already one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. He's long off the tee. I thought him in the mid-20s was a pretty good look this week. Fourth week in a row, I am back on Hideki Matsuyama. I am chasing this Decky win that I am too convinced is coming at some point this season. This is probably shorter odds than where he should be at in this field, but he's been on such a heater over the past 4 weeks, going outright on Hideki, going top 10 on Decky as well. Last 5 weeks for him, 7th place, 5th place, 3rd place, 14th, and 14th. So top 25 straight weeks for Hideki Matsuyama out there on the PGA Tour. I'm back on Colin Morikawa as well. This is an accuracy off the tee and heavy approach week. That is Colin Morikawa written all over it at 28-1. I think that's a good number on him. Played him in the top 10 market as well. And then Tom Kim, who I've bet a lot here over the past month, has a win at the Scottish Open over that time. Came close last week when I was on him, going right back to him. T13 here in 2022. We'll see if he can keep up some of the hot putting that he had last week. That's going to be big. Where he finished T5, but very accurate off the tee, great approach numbers. Like him at a little bit longer odds, 50-1. You'll find him in that range. 40s, 50s might be gone. He's in the 40s, though. You could definitely get him at in the outright market. Played him top 10 as well. Only other top 20 ad for me then was Victor Hovland. Didn't want to go full outright with Hovland, but Victor's had good playoff runs here, good experience at this course, and he's back to gaining with the with his irons on approach, which is really, really good to see after he struggled earlier in the season. And then some tournament matchups. Sam Burns over Xander Schauffele. This is really just kind of where my numbers have it at. Sam Burns, I've got it a little bit better right now than where Xander's been playing at over the past few months. And then Alex Smalley, who I think is coming back around here at the end of this season, and he'll close it out well in a couple matchups, one over Bud Cauley and one over Jordan Spieth.
Here's a listener question. I don't know if it's a question or I'll have a question for you afterwards. This is the great Swami Gator. Said, hey, guys, it is insanely hot here in Memphis today for the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Going to be 99 degrees. Now add the humidity. A lot of sweaty hands and being in shape will be huge. Too hot to even attend it. Being in shape will be huge, he says. Do you ever consider such a thing?
You know, it's funny. We had a brief conversation about it yesterday on Long Shots. Go check it out. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Go over to YouTube. We did have a conversation about it because in kind of that same way of like we never talk about it. And yeah, I think we can point out things like, yeah, Sam Burns, the Louisiana kid, right? Colin Morikawa lives out here in Vegas. These guys probably more used to it, but I always get, especially with golf, I always get a little sketched out when we go to like, yeah, this guy's from Scotland. He must be good in the rain.
Right.
It's like, can someone give me a documented number of rounds they played in that?
Yeah. I was just curious if you ever thought about it, but there's my answer. I guess you guys talked about it on Long Shots yesterday. Good question from Great Swami Gator. Coming back, Nick Whalen next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Derek Stevens, Shangri-La in the desert. And by the way, Ken, big personal thank you from me to Derek for adding drinks to the Batcave.
And Fiji's.
And Fiji's.
Most important.
And Fiji's no less.
Because Gil and I have been on top of this. I don't know what's going on in Las Vegas, but I'm not liking this whole Fiji switch out for Evian that's happening at all these casinos.
Oh, I'm Evian before Fiji. It's, to me, it's 1-2 and then everything else.
That's craziness. I thought we were on the same page with these things.
No, Fiji's a little too thick. Yeah.
Thick water.
Biggest response from yesterday's show, and I got a whole bunch all day yesterday. I appreciate everybody's response. It was from the heart. But Chance Copperpot here this morning saying, had to listen to hour 3 again from yesterday's A Numbers Game because it was that good. Todd Wishnev is a champion of the people. 5%, he says. Get out of here with that nonsense. Welcome back to the show, Gil. You and your first-class flights with Bruce Bochy. No, Boch was in first class. I was in row 7 at the beginning of coach. I was just looking through the thing. But he did ask me if this was, we were in the same boarding group, group 1. I don't know why United puts first class with all us Schmendricks.
Which is where all the cool people really hang out.
And Boch, all
who cares
sudden,
about first class? Just as long as you're in boarding group 1.
Boch is like, is this a group 1? I'm like, Bruce Bochy. Yeah, no, the Todd thing again, what Chance is referring to, I went off on yesterday, which is anybody who's besmirching Todd's unbelievable college basketball record and saying they can only get 5% of the plays, it's just straight hateration, straight dismissiveness. Even if you were casually doing so conservatively, you could have gotten 50% of them, and sometimes at better numbers than Todd. So we just have no time for that nonsense. And Chance is one of the guys in the Discord who knows this better than even I do.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd is very upfront with exactly which books he has. You have the freedom of other books that he doesn't have necessarily. It's a fantastic thing. We'll have Todd on the show later. But first, Nick Whalen joins us, the co-host of Prop Points, Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen, every day after the show. And Kelly, you were saying off air what professionals these two guys are.
They just as far as the inner VEASAN communications go,
yes.
Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson just make it about as smooth and easy as possible. As far as getting them on the show, what they bring to the show, just pros. Love working with pros.
Without further ado, because the previous ado wasn't enough, Nick Whalen joins us now. At Whalen, substitute the letter L with the number 1 on Twitter. Nick, good morning.
Kelly, appreciate the kind words, man. You know, Jeff and I, we're hard hat guys. We're lunch pail guys. You know, we're just trying to pick up 3 yards every down, yeah. Move the chains, not trying to do anything fancy, but appreciate the plug. Appreciate you guys having me back on the show. And I wish there was some NBA that we could talk about, guys. But the big news this week is, I guess, the schedule release, which we kind of already know the NBA schedule. It doesn't really have the same fanfare as the NFL. But we're getting closer, Kelly, to be able to justify talking a little bit more NBA on these airwaves.
I made Gil sit through 8 minutes of most improved player conversation 2 days ago. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. It was riveting.
I'm battling with Michael Cohen every day trying to get NBA on our show.
Riveting. No, it was great, actually.
It's an interesting market right
you,
now.
Not to make fun of you, you do have a little bit of NBA scheduling fever. What did you like so much about it? Did you notice anything?
Oh, I mean, look, I'm just desperate for any kind of NBA storylines this time of year. We're getting the groups, we're getting the official dates for the in-season tournament. Those are starting to trickle out on Twitter today. As we were reminded when we were talking off air, by the way, they have moved the championship game for the in-season tournament to Hinkle Fieldhouse, which is, of course, where Butler plays, if you are a college basketball fan.
What are we doing?
I know for you guys, you know, that's a tough blow taking it out of Vegas, but I think this is actually a really cool move by the NBA to play in this iconic, you know, much smaller, famous arena.
Are the semis still in Vegas?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to do some research on that. I know for sure the championship game is at Hinkle.
Well, as you know, it is a long,
there's no way, long, right? They gotta be playing those at home stadium.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're gonna do the semis here and then move it out
of
Vegas.
That would be quite the trip.
It is a long-standing A Numbers Game tradition that I take the entire crew to the finals of the NBA Cup. I mean, this has been going on for how many years now, Kelly, that we've done this?
One
year. I mean, that's enough.
Okay, yeah, confirmed. Semifinals at home teams' arenas and then going to Butler for the championship. Okay.
So no Vegas.
No Vegas.
Okay. What?
Man, it sucks. Hell? It's a great venue.
Sorry, crew. Brutal. I guess it's Texas Roadhouse or bust from now on. That's it. That's all we get. Nick, let's go to the National Football League. We were talking about, we did a whole segment. We're just riffing through different training camp developments. What has caught your attention?
Well, there was a note that just came through like 5 minutes ago, guys, that Emeka Ebuka limped off the field at Buccaneers practice earlier today. Oh, still boy. Kind of waiting on reports as to exactly what happened. Sounded like he got, quote, rolled up on while taking an end around. You never want to get rolled up on, certainly not during training camp heading into the preseason. So that is certainly something to monitor. I've talked a lot in our show about just the black box that is the NFC South. You know, I still think Tampa Bay is probably the highest floor team. I think if I had to bet a team to win that division, it would be the Buccaneers, but obviously you don't feel great about it. And, you know, looking at this through a fantasy lens, I would say no wide receiver has really risen over the last few months in the way that Emeka Ebuka has. So if you are a fantasy player, that is something now to keep a very close eye on. You know, outside of that, we get 6 preseason games tomorrow night, and it does feel like on paper, at least we're going to see more starters than we typically would. Matt LaFleur said the Packers are going to play starters for at least a series or two. So I'm very excited to see what this revamped or at least consolidated wide receiver room looks like for Green Bay, especially Matthew Golden. I think we'll see a lot of Marshawn Lloyd, who has basically been injured for the first 2 years of his career. So we'll get kind of our first extended look at him tomorrow night. And then all eyes, of course, will be on Cardinals Raiders, where we'll see Fernando Mendoza. Yes. I don't know if he's going to start the game, but it sounds like they're going to try to get him a series or two with some starters. And then the debut of Jeremiah Love, who is currently the odds on favorite for Rookie of the Year.
Speaking of awards, you have some thoughts on Offensive Player of the Year.
I think we talked about Offensive Rookie of the Year potentially, but Offensive Player of the Year is also completely wide open. I think you could argue that, you know, maybe I'm just being a prisoner in the moment, but like the skill position talent right now at the top of the league feels as deep as it's been in terms of the number of star running backs, the number of star receivers that you would put in that category. I think you could even, you know, suggest that Brock Bowers perhaps has a seat at the table in the Offensive Player of the Year conversation. And you know, what makes some of this difficult is that, you know, like I would love to bet Jahmyr Gibbs at 6-1. I also think Amon-Ra St. Brown is a relatively safe bet because of how high the floor is every year. But those guys, of course, play in the same offense. You guys know I love Jared Goff as a late round fantasy quarterback this year. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where that credit ends up being doled out within some of these offenses. But if you look a little bit further down the board, Jonathan Taylor at 22-1 is a player I like. I think that's a reasonable value. I think the Colts probably need him to be elite, maybe more so than some of these other teams need their running back to be elite, with the exception of Bijan Robinson. But a lot of changes for the Colts, a lot of questions as far as what Daniel Jones is going to look like to begin the year. And I mean, we forget Jonathan Taylor was on the fringes of the MVP conversation 3/4 of the way through last season. Now, I think we know he's probably not going to win it because he's a running back, but if he can recapture, you know, that same form that we saw early last season, I think 22-1 is a pretty reasonable value.
You mentioned Jeremiah Love as the favorite and Offensive Rookie of the Year. You have some deeper cuts that you like, deeper album cuts that you like there more so?
Yeah, I just think this is, you know, a really interesting race, because much like last year, I don't think it's going to take a historic season by any of these rookies to win the award. You don't have to be Ja'Marr Chase or Odell Beckham or Saquon Barkley hitting the ground running and pushing for All Pro right away. I mean, we saw Tet McMillan win the award last year, and he had to scratch a clawsway just to break 1,000 yards. So the issue is that we have a lot of talent, but starting with Jeremiah Love in Arizona, and especially a lot of these receivers that we saw at round 1 and round 2, a lot of that elite rookie talent is concentrated on bad teams or teams with bad quarterback play. So it's like you want to love Carnell Tate, you want to love someone like Jordan Tyson, but, you know, reasonably, you would still have questions about Cam Ward and Tyler Shuck. Jeremiah Love, to me, is probably the best talent in the class. The Arizona Cardinals also have a win total of 3.5. They are projected to score the fewest points in the NFL, so you wonder how much that works against him. One name I will throw out to you guys, though, at wide receiver, I think we have to keep an eye on Deshaun Stribling for the 49ers. He is down to 20-1, so hopefully you jumped on this when he was like 60-1 a couple weeks ago, but reports out of Niners camp are that he has been the best receiver on this roster. Ricky Pearsall's out for the year. I'm out on Mike Evans being an elite player at this point in his career. Christian Kirk might be cooked. Deebo Samuel feels like he's in like the Russell Westbrook phase of his career. So if this offense is as good as we think it could be, as well coached as it always is, I think Stribling at 20-1 is a name to monitor.
If you weren't going to bring him up, I was, because that was obviously the big fallout from the Pearsall thing. And Stribling's the best wide receiver on the roster in training camp, as I was saying earlier, because both Deebo and Mike Evans look so slow. My God.
There was a tough video of those guys last week.
Oh, God. It's like, oh, you're going right. Oh, you are going right. I'm still here with you. All right. And then fantasy, I know you and Jeff do a whole bunch of it on prop points, but what is it? It's Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan at the top, and then everybody else at that point. They're 1-2 in whatever order.
In just about every draft, yeah. But if you're in full PPR, I think it's totally justifiable to take Jamar Chase as well. I would say that's the big three. It's been Bijan as the 1-1 most of the offseason, but at a lot of sites, Gibbs has overtaken him within the last few weeks.
All right. Prop points right after us. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here at the network. Thank you so much, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Nick Whalen coming back on A Numbers Game with Toddy Wishnev next.